Welcome. Gospel Harvest International is the evangelistic ministry of Itumeleng and Lindy Mokganye. This ministry is devoted to winning souls and igniting the church to do likewise. As you are listening to this message, we pray that God's word would position and empower you to take the harvest in your world.
I'm continuing with my series on rethinking one's life. And in this part number 5, I want to speak about choosing to manage my mind. Choosing to manage one's mind. You see, when we begin with Romans chapter 12 verse 2, we see that it says this in the New Living Translation. It says, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think." That's what this whole series is about. It's about changing the way that one thinks. God is far more interested in changing one's mind than he is in changing one's circumstances. We always want God to change our circumstances, but God wants to change our mind. Now, before we look at how to manage your mind, how to make your mind mind, have you ever noticed that your mind doesn't always obey you? But we're going to look today as to how to make your mind mind and how to manage it. So there are three choices that we have to look at, that we have to make every single day. In fact, if you're going to make, if you do this every day, you're going to have a healthy mind, and it's going to help you manage your mind. And all these choices start with F. You have to feed your mind, you have to free your mind, and you have to focus your mind. The Bible teaches all three of these truths throughout the New Testament. Let's look at them. Number one, if I want to learn how to manage my mind instead of having it control me, I must feed my mind with truth. Jesus said this. It's one of the most famous things that he said that people use out of context all the time. And it's found in John chapter 8 verse 32. He says, "The truth will set you free." But a lot of people don't realize that the truth referred to has to be truth that originates from the Bible. The Bible is this truth. That's what it says in Matthew chapter 4 verse 4, that we as people cannot live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God is what we ought to feed on. This is soul food. This is the truth that sets one free. There are a lot of things that are true but won't set you free. I can teach you how to program a computer, but that won't set you free. There's a lot of truth you can learn in life that's simply just not going to set you free. The truth that sets you free is the truth that comes from God's word. The owner's manual for life is the word. So I've got to feed my mind on truth. And this is where liberation comes from. And how often, you may ask? All the time. Psalm 119 verses 147 says this. The psalmist says, "I rise up early to cry out for help, and I put my hope in your words." I love that word hope. I've said this many times. There are over 7,000 promises in the Bible. If you get these promises into your life, you're going to be a hopeful person. You'll become a promise person. These promises are the truth, and you'll have all the hope that you need. Look at the next verse in verse 97 of Psalm 119. "Lord," the psalmist says, "how I love your word. I think about it all day long." Circle that phrase, all day long. That's feeding one's mind on truth all day long. Do you think about God's word all day long? Probably not. You might not even think about it once a day. But the Bible says this, if you start your day with the word of God, then you can think about it throughout the day, then you can pulling it back into memory when you need it in difficult times. Psalm 16 verse 7 says this, "Even in the darkest of nights, your teachings fill my mind." Now let me show you how serious this is, how serious David was about being in the word. There was a time when David had so many enemies, he was actually a fugitive. He was hiding in caves, and no matter what happens in his life, he fed on the truth of God's word. That's probably how he didn't become insane. Psalm 119 verse 95 is one of the psalms that he wrote during this difficult time. He says this, "When the wicked people hide to ambush and kill me, I quietly keep my mind on your decrees." When you look at all the things that are in the world, it's easy to get discouraged. You pick up a newspaper, you could be listening to a radio, watching TV, or seeing something on the internet, and you can just like that, in seconds, get discouraged. You're going to feel hopeless, but quietly keep your mind on His word. Feed your mind on truth. This is what David says. He says, even when I'm running from my enemies, I will choose to quieten my soul and feed on the truth of your decrees. The second thing that I have to do to learn to manage my mind instead of having it manage me is that I must free my mind from destructive thoughts. Your mind has to be liberated. It has to be delivered, set free, released. Now, it's easy for me to tell you this needs to be done, but it's quite a process for you to actually see it done. How does God deliver or release or set free your mind? And why is it so hard? That's because we're in a battle. There's a battle for your mind going on every moment of the day from the moment you open your eyes, and even at times when you're even sleeping. You have good intentions to fill your mind with truth on a daily basis. You want to live the way God wants you to live. You want to know God better. You want to fill your mind with truth. But there's a fight, and Satan is going to fight you. And you have three enemies in this regard that are trying to stop you from realizing this liberation. The first of these enemies is your sinful nature. Paul says this in Romans chapter 7 verse 23. He says, I see in my body a principle at war with the law of my mind, taking me captive to the law of sin that dwells in me. Look at that. He says, there's a battle in my mind, and this law of sin takes me captive in my mind. In other words, I'm a hostage to my own thoughts. You see, the sinful nature is the source of all bad thinking and all bad habits in your life. But guess what? You don't have to believe everything you think. Why? Because the truth is that your mind lies to you all the time. Because some of those thoughts are not from God. They're not even from you. They could be from the devil, from the sinful nature, and from the world. One of the most important questions that you need to ask in life is to challenge your old thoughts by saying, is this really true? Maybe you think nobody likes you. Is this really true? You're never going to get better. Is it really true? Romans 8:5 says this, those who are dominated by their own sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So the first enemy is inside, that is one's old nature. The second enemy of one's mind is Satan. He wants to change your mind in all the wrong direction. Let's make this very clear. He desires to take you captive. He is continually planting negative thoughts, ideas, and impressions in your mind. And he's feeding you all the wrong ammunition, trying to empower you to make wrong decisions. That's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Paul speaks about a guy who had sinned in the church. And he says, I've forgiven that man. I didn't hold on to a grudge. Why? So that Satan wouldn't outsmart him. And he says this, we are familiar with these schemes. Do you know that anytime you refuse to forgive anybody, you've fallen for Satan's trap? Anytime I won't forgive somebody, I've given into a thought or a suggestion that Satan has given you. Now, we've got to contend with the old nature, we've got to contend with Satan, and we have to contend with the world and its values. The world's values are constantly in opposition to what God wants. Everything that's promoted through visual media, through whatever you see around, is all contrary to truth. The Bible says this in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. All that is in the world, and it lists what's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not the Father, but is of this world. Have you ever noticed that there's nothing around you that encourages you to be disciplined? It says, given to the lust of the flesh, of the eyes, of the pride of life, given to this passion and possession. But how do you fight this mental battle? Well, you have to demolish these strongholds. By how? By taking every thought captive as alluded to, or actually as commanded in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5. Now, strongholds are lies that we believe that are in contradiction with the word of God. And we can only overcome these by what? by meditating on the word and choosing to lay hold of every thought that's in opposition to truth. Listen to Psalm 119 verse 112. It says this, the psalmist says, I've made up my mind to obey your laws forever, no matter what. Wow. He says, no matter what, I've made up my mind to obey your word. Now I want to mention a third and final step in this introduction. First, we need to feed our mind with truth over and over again. Second, we need to free our mind from destructive thoughts and resist the opposition that comes from the flesh, Satan, and the world. And then we need to focus our mind on the right things. The first thing that we need to focus on is Jesus. We need to think about him. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 8 says this, keep your mind on Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 3 says, think about Jesus' example, how he held on while wicked people were doing evil things around him. Do not get tired and stop trying. What gives you the power to keep on going? Thinking about the Lord and his example. The second thing is that we have to think about others. Philippians chapter 2 verse 4 says this, don't just think about your own affairs, but be interested in others too and in what they're doing. So what I'm saying is this, when you're in a situation tomorrow, even today, stop and intentionally think about Jesus and think about others. Would that transform your life if you thought about each other and other people first? Or certainly, Hebrews chapter 10 verse 24 says, let us think about each other and let us help each other to show love and do good deeds. Number three, this will radically change your life. Think about eternity. We're so caught up in here and now that we often don't think about eternity. Yet in Colossians chapter 3 verse 2 says this, let heaven fill your thoughts. Don't think only about things down here on earth. It's impossible to be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. But it is possible to be so earthly minded that you're no heavenly good. You can't help anybody because you're just thinking about the earth. The truth is that heavenly minded people always have done the most good in this world for thousands and thousands of years. Why? Because they think about eternity. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9 says this, no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. One of the reasons we have a hard time thinking about eternity is because it's a mind blower. It's a dimension far above the second and the third. Imagine if the world has all the splendor and beauty, how beautiful heaven is. Now, when you start thinking about all of your problems, the little nitpicking problems that seem so big in your life, you need to start thinking in light of eternity, that perhaps your life here on earth isn't really that long. And even if you have problems your entire life, it's nothing compared to the glory, the joy, the pleasure and the enjoyment of the things we're going to have to look forward to in eternity. Everything else is inferior compared to that. In summary, I need to feed my mind on truth every day. My friends, this is a non-negotiable. We've got to get into the Word of God. We need to free our mind from destructive thoughts by catching them. So I refocus. I choose not to think about them by changing the way that I think. And then I focus my mind on right things. And when I'm focusing on right things, then I don't have to pay attention to that which is wrong. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you that you help us by your Holy Spirit to renew our minds by the Word of God, to capture every thought captive so that we can experience the transformation and prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of you, O Father. Help us by your Holy Spirit. Help us to be people of the Word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening today. If you were blessed by this message, consider how you can get involved and join hands with us in winning rural Africa for Jesus. We'd love to hear from you. Visit our website at gospelharvest.co.za for more information or sermons like this one.